Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing. Episode number one. Today, I'm here with my guest, Denny Cray.
Denny is a fitness and nutrition coach in Central Florida working to encourage, inspire, and motivate clients to take control over their own health each day. He's helping as many people as possible to realize the positive change they want in their lives using intentional action. I'm so excited to have Denny as our guest here today.
And I'm just going to jump right in with our first question, which is tell me about your very first garden that you ever grew.
Well, the first one that I ever grew was actually probably a few years ago. But growing up, we always, my parents always gardened. I remember as a real little kid, going over to help at the harvest time at my grandparents' house to help with their gardens. I mean, gardening's always been something that's been kind of in, that I've been exposed to and in the family. And then finally, we bought a house, I guess about 5 years ago now, and that first summer. So I guess it would have been like the spring, summer-ish of about 2010 was probably the first time that I ever was able to have some land that I actually owned and could dig up a little bit and try planting some things. So it was small then, and it's a little bigger now, but it's still pretty small. But it's nice to kind of have the opportunity to get back into the dirt a little bit and try to produce something kind of the old fashioned way instead of just going to the store and picking everything up.
Absolutely. So was there anybody that like inspired you specifically to start that garden when you got your own house? Like you talked about your grandparents, and your family had a garden. Was there someone in particular that like inspired you?
Not necessarily. I remember specifically, as a kid, probably, 12, 13, somewhere in that range of saying that I will never have a garden. Because home from school for the summer and what are the chores every day? It's, go weed a row of this or go, pick green beans. And then we're going to sit at home that night and tip them and snap them and all of the chores that come along with having the garden. And, I remember very specifically saying, I can't wait till I'm out of the house because I will never be doing any of these. I'll never have a garden. I'll never be doing this stuff. And then I guess it was probably instead of someone, that kind of inspired me, it was probably more of my wallet that inspired me. Cause you start to realize how expensive, food is, and especially fresh food, especially organic food. And, kind of start thinking with my wallet a little bit and you go, well, man, like a packet of seeds costs like less than $2. And, if you get halfway decent production, it doesn't take much production to easily make your $2 back. And hopefully, save yourself a lot more money by the produce that you get. And of course, the quality and everything is so much better anyway. So,
and the taste.
Yes, absolutely. So I think that those factors were more of the things that inspired me to actually start my own garden as opposed to any one person that, I mean, thankfully I had some knowledge of how to do things, but that was probably the real cause of me starting a garden at this stage of my life.
So is there any kind of like motivational quote or phrase or anything that you think about when you go to dig in the dirt down there, especially since we kind of talked about how it's not always that much fun to go down and weed or, do the chores that come along with gardening?
Probably more. My background in my kind of day job is in the health and fitness field. And there's a quote, I can't remember who, it might be one of those kind of Chinese proverbs that doesn't really have anybody attributed to it. Uh-huh. I can't remember exactly, but it's something to the extent of the best medicine you can get is your food. So like let food be your medicine and medicine be your food, I think is how the quote goes. And the more I've learned and studied in school and in continuing education and things like that, it's so many of our health problems that we face as a nation are I think very directly related to the quality of food that we eat, as much or more so than any other factor. So just the importance of good food is you can't understate it. So it's, you know, those types of quotes of just the power of good food that whenever I see them, I'm like, oh, that's why I toil in the garden. And that's why I, you know, put in that time and that effort. It's because I know that I'm able to, for myself and my family, have as good of high quality of food as possible, as often as possible through the garden.
Sure. So then is there something that grew really well in your garden this year? Something you planted that you were just really happy about the way it came out, or that turned out just the way you wanted it to?
Well, one thing that I've been struggling with, and the garden wasn't great this year, it wasn't bad. But it's been a learning curve, because I grew up in northern Michigan, where, of course, you know, just like everywhere, or at least most places in the country, like your growing season is pretty, you know, pretty determined, mm-hmm. from, you know, middle of May or so, end of May, until, you know, sometime in September, October, when the frost hits, and that's your growing season. I live in Florida now, and so it's been a big adjustment. Like, nothing really grows down here in the summertime, because it's too hot and it's too wet. And there's too many bugs, and there's very few things that grow in the summer. So it took me.
Oh, weird. You know, that first year, I thought you were going to say the opposite.
No, well, that first year, you know, I tried planting like the tomatoes in maybe not quite in May, but in like March or April, something like that. And by the time they start getting ripe, I mean, they would literally rot on the vine before they would ripen, because it was so hot and humid and bugs and all this kind of stuff. So it's been some learning curve and figuring things out. But the things that I've done probably the best at, overall, and I haven't harvested them yet. Like, I'll harvest probably in another, like the end of October, first part of November. Sweet potatoes grow real well down here.
Really? Yum.
Yeah. I haven't gotten as many of the real big sized ones. So they're a lot more, you know, kind of a little bit, maybe like, trying to think of a, something to describe them, but, you know, maybe about, a quarter to a silver dollar in diameter, mm-hmm. and still fairly long, but they're not the real big, thick, meaty sweet potatoes. But, you know, you get a bunch of those, and you chop them up and bake them as like sweet potato fries or things like that. And they're delicious. Every year I'll get a couple that are kind of, that you could actually bake and have like a baked sweet potato. But, usually they're a little bit more of kind of the chop them up and fry them or mash them type of size. But, those have grown really well, and they grow well in the sandy soil that we have. And that's been my other problem, is trying to build up my soil quality, because it's very sandy and there's not very many nutrients in it naturally. So it's a matter of trying to build things up. But sweet potatoes do well. Broccoli does well in the wintertime. I'll be planting broccoli here in another couple of weeks, and that'll be harvesting. And I usually do a pretty good harvest of that through January, February, and those have been the two that have probably worked the best. I'm gonna try some greens this year and some spinach, things like that, and see how those go. But it's just been a constant experiment of trying to figure out when to plant and what to plant, and you know, some things that work all right and some things are kind of swing and a miss. But you just kind of keep learning, and eventually I'll figure out how things grow down here, because I don't have much experience to go on, for sure.
Are there like other gardeners in your neighborhood at all that you talk to? Maybe like people that have grown up there, or kind of like older people that you can use for like advice?
There's nobody in my direct neighborhood. I think that actually probably my garden is probably illegal to our HOA, but it's kind of back where nobody can see it, so I just kind of get away with it.
Oh, interesting.
But we go to a, and this will actually start in November as well. We go to we're members of a CSA farm. Uh-huh. And so I ask him a lot of questions, right. when I see him. He's not always there at the pickup time, but the gentleman, the husband that does the he's the kind of the head farmer, I guess, of their family, and he's able to give me a lot of information, and I'm always kind of trying to pick his brain a little bit and learn, you know, and I've learned from him a lot just from the produce that we get, as far as what types of mm-hmm. things to grow. And what time of the year to try to grow them, because obviously if he's growing them, you know, kind of, I mean, it's not his sole job, but you know, he's growing them to help supplement his income. So he must be growing the things that he knows are going to grow at the time of year. So I try to learn from him, and what time, when should I plant these next year, and things like that. So always picking his brain a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just so surprised. Like, I didn't think Florida would be like that at all. I thought it would be, you know, you could grow things easily there all year.
Yeah,
or yeah, I just wasn't expecting that. So that's interesting.
Yeah, it's a learning. The thing is that the seasons gardening's are so off,
huge.
You know, it's so it's hard for me to figure out exactly when to plant, but I'm getting better. And then, like I said, the other problem is the soil quality, because like in my you know, kind of subdivision or whatever you want to call it, like, you know, it was just fill sand that was brought in when they built the houses up. So if I had more land that was actually some good black dirt, I could probably try to grow more throughout the year. But right now I've got a small little raised bed, or two raised beds actually. And I'm kind of working on building those up, the soil quality up, before I expand farther. Cause there's no sense in continuing to plant stuff where there's no nutrients to grow. But, if you know what you're doing, I think the growing season isn't too bad. You can figure things out and make it work, but it's just a little backwards. Summertime is kind of our slow season. And then, you know, kind of mid to late fall through the spring, are when everything's growing like crazy and you're getting tons and tons of produce.
That's awesome.
So we're going to take some time to say thank you from our sponsors. Organifi Green Juice is a gently dried superfood mix that supports health, mental clarity, while detoxifying your body, all in one delicious drink. What I love about Organifi, it makes me feel great. It's easy. It doesn't take much time. It's full of nutrients and superfoods that I have a hard time getting anywhere else. And it just tastes delicious. Now, as a teacher, you all know that our time is totally limited. I have kids in my classroom from 7:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. So just even using this simple thing can be difficult for me, but I can pull it off and so can you. If you want to feel good and get all your greens in a simple, easy drink, remember, you can get a discount as an Organic Gardener podcast listener by entering code OGP16, and Organifi will give you a 15% discount now. So just go to Organifi.com, and when you go to checkout, enter code OGP16, and they'll give you 15% off your order anytime. Did you know that you could support the Organic Gardener podcast without doing anything differently? If you're going to buy something on Amazon.com, since I'm an Amazon affiliate, if you go to Amazon through a link on my page, which every book that is listed on my website is linked to Amazon.com, you don't have to buy that book, but anything you buy that day from Amazon will give me a very, very small commission. But I got to tell you, it would sure help pay for, you know, just some of the basics it costs to keep the podcast up there. So, Denny, are you ready to get to the root of things?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so do you have like any kind of a favorite resource or a tool that you like to use in your garden you'd want to share with our listeners today?
One of the, you know, and it's tough because, at least for me, I've found that most of the resources seem to be not necessarily focused to Florida agriculture, because it's just so different than it is everywhere else in the country. But I love the Organic Gardening magazine. There's a show on PBS that I DVR all the time. It's called Growing a Greener World. And I love that show, that program. So I'm always trying to learn little tips and tricks of ways to do things that are, you know, organic and not using fertilizers and pesticides and things like that, and just always trying to learn. And then like I said, whenever I can pick the brain of somebody that has grown stuff down here and is kind of familiar with things in the local environment, I'm always trying to just ask questions. And I kind of think that's probably the best resource anyway. It's just people that are in your area that you know, or, you know, that know, that have done it, been there before, and they can kind of tell you what's specific to your area. Cause no matter what, you know, any of the big publications, TV shows, things like that, like they'll give you some good tips and tricks and stuff, but it's not always necessarily specific to your local environment.
Right. So. Absolutely. Uh-huh. That's always kind of one of the difficulties. And especially I'm thinking where, you know, I'm in Northern Montana on the Rocky Mountains. So, but it's interesting that we have similar problems with the dirt, and we kind of have some sandy soil by my house. Like my husband, that's like one of his biggest things, is building up our dirt and trying to find sources for, you know, good manure. Mm-hmm. You know, he's always creating compost, but there's just never enough of
exactly.
that. So, trying to build up the soil. Cause like, even like he planted wheat this year for the first time, and you can see like, even though he planted like, I don't know, maybe a quarter acre of wheat, there was only enough manure for like 10 feet of the thing. And you can see where the wheat at one end of the field is like is twice better. As high yeah. as the other end of the field.
Yeah. I thought it was the water running downhill, but he's like, no, that's where I put the chicken manure.
Yeah. I mean, it's the quality of the soil is make or break, really. I mean,
yes, no definitely. Question. And that's something like I've learned from him. I mean, my husband's like the master gardener. I can barely keep like, I couldn't grow anything without him. I could barely keep a geranium alive. So I'm always learning. And that was one of his big things he showed me in the beginning. Okay. So is there like a favorite recipe or anything you'd like to put in the show notes or something that you really like to cook with stuff that you've grown yourself?
Gosh, I mean, so many. That's one thing I don't really, I'm not a big recipe guy. I'm just kind of a throw things together and taste it and adjust as you go. But you know, from the stuff that I've grown, like I said, the sweet potato, like the baked fries are easily, kind of one of my favorite things to do. And I just, you know, kind of mix a little, I usually use coconut oil. So it's got a little bit of sweet to the oil. And just kind of, you know, put a little coconut oil in a Tupperware and chop up the sweet potatoes and kind of put them in there and you know, swish them around or whatever, put the lid on it. And so everything gets covered kind of evenly. And, usually use a little bit like some red pepper or something to just give it just a little bit of spice to it, a little bit of bite. And then like some cinnamon or something like that to kind of just add a little bit of diversity to the flavor. But, that's it. And then just bake it for, you know, kind of, I don't even know if I do the same temperature every time, somewhere in the 350 range for, you know, somewhere between 25 minutes and 30 minutes, I guess, depending on how, you know, just till they're done. You can kind of just tell when they're crisped up a little bit and they're ready to go. And,
do you have to flip them midway? That's always my trouble trying to flip things like that.
I don't. What I've actually started to do is, sure. I used to have a problem with that when I just put them on the pan. I put like a cooling rack on top of the cookie sheet and put them on top of that. So it's able to kind of heat all the way around them. Instead of having to flip them halfway. So that way you don't have to worry about them sticking to the pan and breaking apart and things like that. They just kind of, cook right on top and seems to work quite a bit better than when I try to just do them on a pan, without that little trick. So maybe that might be something that can help people for sure.
I'm going to try that right away. Cause that's always my toughest thing. And that, what an easy solution.
Yep.
Okay, how about any like secrets for preserving food or making it last? That's always a tough one for me. My stuff seems to go bad before I can eat it.
And there's nothing more frustrating than that, is there? I mean,
no, I feel so bad for my husband. He grows so much food, and I'm like, I can't eat all this no matter what. And I try to give it away, but
personally, I guess I do mostly freezing, just because I don't have a pressure canner, and that's kind of one of those things that's on my list. But it's just. Hasn't ever crept up high enough on the list to actually get one yet. But growing up, we did a combination, I guess, and my mom, I guess, did a combination of canning and freezing. Kind of, you figure out some things that work better frozen or some things that work better canned. For me, I do mostly freezing, I guess, freezing greens, freezing stuff that we get from the CSA farm that we're members of. Cause same type of thing. We'll get so much every week that it's like, you can't eat it. And then you'll leave the fresher stuff to eat the old stuff before it goes bad. But then the fresh stuff isn't fresh when you're eating it again. So now it's still, you know, it's like this never ending cycle of we're getting it super fresh and not eating it until later. So it's not quite as nutrient dense and as good quite at that point. So, try to stay on top of freezing that stuff. At least, you know, by the end of the week, whatever we haven't eaten yet, try to freeze it and preserve it so that when we get the new stuff in that it'll be fresh and we can go forward. But, freezing has been easy for me. I mean, you know, blanch real quick, you know, online there's all kinds of different, or even, you know, maybe even it's like a book that comes with, if you get like any type of cookbook probably even has, you know, blanch it depending on what it is, a minute, 2 minutes, whatever. And then cool it and freeze it, and it lasts pretty well.
Oh, that's a good question. Do you have a favorite cookbook? Yeah. And we go back and forth with that, with freezing, and then my husband cans a lot of stuff, which is also something that just flabbergasts me and amazes me. And here's all these green beans and things, and like beets in the middle of winter. Right. Like I've forget tomatoes. Like, my salads are all covered in pickled beets and things. Like, that's my red on my salad because it just can't compare.
The thing that I wish I would do more of with the canning is not necessarily the thing, but, you know, the reason I would like to do more canning is if you forget, like, if I'll freeze soups or I'll freeze things like that. And then, you know, if you come home and it's like time to eat and now you got to try to thaw something out versus if it's already canned, you can just pop the can and you're ready to go. So that's definitely a little bonus for the canning, but, you know, whatever you can do to preserve, that's definitely nice to have things that are stored up and ready to go and still, maybe not completely fresh, but fresher than anything you're going to get, you know, at the grocery store for sure.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me today, Denny. And so as we conclude our show, I'm just going to ask for maybe one final parting piece of guidance, the best way to connect with you, and then we'll say goodbye.
Well, you know, I think that gardening is something that's just, it's not an exact science. Like, you just kind of have to work with it and know that there may be times that, or seasons that, you know, the weather doesn't cooperate and your garden isn't as productive as you'd like it to be, or, you know, your soil isn't to the level that you know, that you wanted it to be, or, you know, after you, planted for multiple years, like, you know, you need to try to hopefully continue to remember to supplement with more manure or compost or things like that, so that the nutrients don't get depleted. But, you know, don't get frustrated when you have a poor season, or when one crop fails or doesn't grow as well as you'd hope. Because it happens to everybody. It happens, you know, new gardeners, old gardeners, veteran gardeners, whatever, you know, everybody it's happened to before, it'll happen to them again. But learn from it, you know, keep notes, which is something that I need to do a better job of as well. Like, I kind of keep the notes in my head, but then I, you know, well, was it the beginning of the month or was it the end of the month? Or when did I plant? And you know, you kind of start to forget, and the dates run together. But if you have notes and, you know, like, I planted at this date and then, it wasn't right before the frost came, well then, you know, can you plant earlier? Can you start your seeds inside? Or just things like that, that you can adjust and adapt as you, get more into your gardening, and you'll just kind of, you know, learn. And then as you learn, you know, obviously your production will hopefully increase, and you'll have more of a actual in your hands reward of more produce than just the reward of learning and hopefully doing better next year. So just keep at it and, enjoy it. And it becomes a stress relief, at least for me. So it's something that I definitely enjoy. And, you know, it's not something, obviously, that's my full-time job, but I love doing it. And, love to, you know, if you have questions or if you're in Florida and you're trying to figure out how to start a garden, you can definitely always reach out to me. Probably the best place is on my, I have a personal training business, and on the personal training, website, you can just reach out to me there. It's DK Fit Solutions. That's DKFITSOLUTIONS.com. And there's a contact tab there. There's my Twitter handle and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. So whatever, method of communication is best for you, you can just definitely reach out. And I'm glad to talk gardening with anybody anytime. So, like I said, I'm no expert, but I know what I've got a little bit of experience and I'm always looking to learn. So, definitely let me know.
Well, thank you so much for being a guest on my show today, Denny. You've given our listeners tons of valuable information, big inspiration to keep trying different things and get out there and enjoy the garden. And I just appreciate everything that you've said for our listeners today. And I'd like to thank my audience for listening. So have a great day and grow local.